this last week.
Oh, that's really loud.
We kind of talked about this last week as a basketball team or a football team, and I told you how each person has these specific plays and each person does these specific things. And really, what is true with any sports team or any other thing is so much more profound here in the church. You cannot get to Christ, okay? You cannot build up a church. We cannot grow together and to mature into Christ without unity. In fact, it's so needed, right? Because we are a body of Christ. One is a hand, one is a foot or a toe or a pinky. And when one of these functions don't work right, the whole body doesn't work right. For example, right now my big toe is killing me. If you notice, I'm kind of limping and it hurts a lot, right? And even though it's one little part of my body, because it's only like about this big, my toe. I'm like about 5'11". My toe is only this big. But it affects everything about me. Like seriously, I can't wait till I sit down again, okay? But this is why it's so important. So let's go into scripture today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 14. Excuse me, 7 through 16, excuse me. 7 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Once again, I'll give you another second. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. And the word of God says, "But to each of one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led the captive, the host of the captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, "he ascended," what does this mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of earth, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service and building up the body of Christ, until we all attain total unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measures of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves, carried about every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, and by the craftiness and deceitfulness scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes a growth of the body and building itself up to love." Amen. That's a lot. You know, Paul is doing this again. He's really emphasizing this topic of unity. Why is unity so important? Because the truth is, unity is, like I said, one of these things that can make or break any organization, not just the church. Not just the church, any organization. You want to know, in the secular world, how many of you guys know about Tesla? You guys like Tesla? You guys like Tesla cars? He was the CEO. Do you guys know? Elon Musk. You know why? You know what happened to Elon Musk and Tesla? Do you know what he did? Well, we're not talking about production. We're not talking about production. Yes, exactly. So he kind of broke some rules here, okay? What he did, he said, okay, I'm going to make our company private again. So he says, I got backing from Saudis in the Middle East, and he just he tweeted it. I'm going to take the company private. He broke all kinds of SEC rules by doing that, the Security and Exchange rules. He broke all kinds of rules. And because of that, right, within even his own company, in order for him not to go to jail because he broke his rules, he cannot make day-to-day operational choices, or he's not in charge anymore. How is the leader of the group not in charge anymore? Well, there's this unity there. He did things that he wasn't supposed to do, and it causes a lot of bad things to happen. Same within a church. You want to see a church fall fast? You look at the pastor. Don't worry about our church. We have, man, like I said, Pastor Balix. He's married to God, right? But, you know, you want to see a church fall, look at the pastor. If there's any disunity between him and his congregation, you'll see a church fall quicker than anything else. Okay? You got to remember, our church has history. There's 10 years of history and it's still going. Okay? Who knows how long it will go. But that's what it all depends on, unity. So why is this thing so important? Well, because in order to have this maturity, in order to have this growth in Christ, in order to understand what God is calling us to do, we need to have unity, right? Because in order to be Christ-like, right, as we learned in last week, in the beginning of chapter 4, we are to have humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. You can't have these things without unity. These things are absolute central to our faith. We are people who grow ourselves and also promote growth in the body, right? And the reason why we do this is so that we can become more and more like Christ. And that's what this section is all about, verses 7 to 16. We're going to take a deeper look to this calling of all believers in unity, okay? We're going to break up this passage into four parts. We're going to look at what has been given to the church. What are these gifts that was given to the church? Third, the purpose of these gifts. And fourth, what does it look like when all these gifts are used properly together? So the first thing we want to look at is verse 7. It says, but grace was given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And at the end of last week's passage, I can understand how overwhelming it can be, right? It's easy to love people who love you, right? It's really hard to love people who maybe don't love you or maybe even hate you, right? These are the challenges that we have within the church. But Paul says it this way, right? He says, these things are hard, yes. And he's setting up all these. I just told you, you have to do all these hard things. You need to be unified. You need to be graceful to another. You need to have humility for one another. He's saying, yes, these things are hard. But he says, it's not ending there. Because Jesus gives us grace. And this is something that we all must understand on our own, right? If we're here, right? If God has called you to be in this place, if you have called upon the name of Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, you need to understand this. You were given something. You were given grace. You were given this grace. Paul is saying, this task is above you. This task is bigger than you. I know what you have, you know, and right now, you guys probably can't fulfill it. But Paul says, to each and every one of us, grace has been given. In other words, those who put their trust in Christ here, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, you have been given a gift. And now, what does this gift and how does this gift help us in our unity? Well, it's simple. Because the truth is, God makes it uneven. And when you think about gifts, especially as a parent, you know, I have a son and a daughter. When I give one thing to my son, and my daughter doesn't get the same thing, why, Daddy, how come you're not fair? My son is the worst at it, though. If I give something to my daughter, he's like, Daddy, I'm firstborn. Why aren't you giving me my stuff? Give it to me. No, he talks to me like that, right? And as a parent, you say, okay, I'll make it fair. Here's one cookie for you, one cookie for you, two for Daddy. Right? It usually works that way, though. But you want to make things fair. But Jesus didn't do that here. In fact, Jesus, the Bible says, he gave according to his wishes. So why would someone, as far as unity and as far as giving gifts, why would someone give us things in different ways? Well, the first thing I think it explains diversity. Grace is given to us as a measure of Christ's gift. This means that Christ has all the wisdom and gives us specific gifts and abilities in order to perform the specific task, which is the unity that Paul is asking for right now. Think of it as a restaurant. How many guys like to eat at restaurants? How many guys work at a restaurant? I know one of us do, kind of. Yes. And in this restaurant, okay, whether fast food, local, whatever, and in a restaurant, right? First thing you got to do, you go into the restaurant, and who greets you?
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, how you doing, right? It's a greeter. Usually, if it's In-N-Out, it's a cashier, right? But a greeter, and they say, welcome. They make you feel good. They say, come here, come. And then so you sit down. So in a restaurant now, you sit down. They'll sit you, and they'll give you menus. And then what happens after that? No, not food yet. Food doesn't come out yet. What happens? So someone comes and says, hi, my name is so-and-so. How are you today? I'll be your whatever, right? I'll give you, would you like something to drink? Yes, I would. I'm very thirsty today. Could you get me a Diet Coke, please? All right. I love it. That's my poison. Diet Coke, actually Coke Zero. Okay. So you get your drink order. And then you go say, well, your waiter will be your server will be back in a little bit to take your order. So you look over your menu, and then who comes over next? The waiter. He says, hey, how are you doing? Da, 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 da. He gives you some kind of wrap. He gives you maybe upsell. Oh, you want the fresh fish today. It's really, really good. You want the lobster. You want the steak. Whatever, right? So you go through this process, right? And at the end, so the ticket, the order goes in. The kitchen staff, they get it. They cook it. They fire it. They do it in their timing. And after that, what happens? Food comes onto your table. And you finally, how is it good? It's good. Oh, great. Right? They have to. Oh, see, they kind of want to do that so that you cannot complain too. That's actually a trick sometimes. But they have to. They have to come back and say, is everything all right? In fact, if they don't check up on your meal, that's really lousy service. I know we're kind of used to self-serve, but this is how restaurants are supposed to run. And so the whole point, and at the very end, you get a bill that, the person says, thank you very much. And then you pay for food, you pay for service, you give them a tip, and you say, thank you very much. Well, in that one restaurant experience, you probably work with maybe like 6 or 7 different systems there, right? From serving, from greeting, to taking order, to service, to giving your food, to clearing your food, for the dishwashers, the cooks who actually cook it. There's all these moving parts within a restaurant. No different within a church. Our church is so blessed. You guys are so blessed. We have such dedicated co-workers. So I may be, I don't know, if I consider myself, I'll be probably like a chef because I'm cooking up all this stuff, right? And all the co-workers are like the servers, and they're serving you in specific things. Like, this is something good to eat. And they give you Bible study. They give you all these things. This is no different from the church. You see, we have all these moving parts. So that's why, as needed, Jesus is going to give the gifts that we need, right? So he's not going to give us a blank statement, you all have this. No, he's like, you have this, you have this, you have that, you have this, you have that. And that way, we become a big picture, right? We're all these little pieces that form one big picture. Okay? Now, this is the other thing that you guys got to understand about why God has given us in different points. Okay? You got to understand this. A gift tells nothing about the person receiving the gift, right? Right? If someone gives you a great gift, like someone, I know we're Chinese and we love red envelopes, right? Right? What if someone gives you a red envelope and there's like a $5 bill in there? Oh, that's nice. But then someone gives you a red envelope and there's like 4 or 5 crisp $100 bills in there. Right? So this is the point, right? The gift says nothing about the person receiving it, right? The gift says everything about the person giving it. You guys got to understand that. This is all an act of humility here. When Jesus says, I give you these things, it's not for your purpose. It's for His. Everything He does, right? Everything that He will do, everything He did, is all pointing back to the glory of the Father. We just had the Warriors' first game last night, right? Game one in the playoffs. You guys know who my favorite player is? Number 30. Thank you very much, Stephen Curry. And what does he always do when he hits a good shot? He does this. You don't know, you know what he does? You know why he does that? You know what he's saying? He's saying, Jesus, my heart is yours. What he does, huh? Oh, yeah, they smoked them. Actually, closer than it should have been, but at the end, they smoked them. Okay? But this is what Stephen Curry does. Whenever he drains a three or, like, he jukes someone, shakes someone, he does something hard, bang! He just bangs his chest really hard and he points to the sky. Why? Because he's saying, thank you, Jesus. Little while ago, one of my favorite guys, his name is Tim Tebow. You guys know who Tim Tebow is? No? Oh, man! I'm dating guys. So now he's a baseball guy, but he played for Florida State. He won the national championship at University of Florida. And he was the Denver Broncos quarterback, but no one gave him a chance because he was a really good Christian guy, and everyone dumped on him. But the one thing that I love that he always did, in fact, it was a meme. It was probably one of the first memes. It's called T-Bowing. That was the first meme. And the reason why he did these things, right? The reason why he did these things is, once again, to point glory back to the Father. What was amazing about Tim Tebow, he would do this before interviews. He would get people, other Christians, and this is what he did. He said, you guys want to pray before we do this interview? They're like, yeah, let's do that. So refreshing. No one ever asked it. Let's pray together. So they would sit down and pray together. And you can actually see footage of this. Every time Tim Tebow is praying with, you know, whether interview, whether before a game or after a play, after whatever, something good, something bad, he's always giving glory to God. This is what Jesus is doing when he says, I give you this, I give you that, in unequal distributions. He's saying, my grace will cover you. And everything you do, right? Because if I gave everything to everyone, that'd be yours. Right? But remember what I said. The gift says nothing about the person who receives. The gift says everything about the person giving. Right? And he says, this is sufficient. This is sufficient. Because this is what you need. This is what you need. This is why it's distributed unproportionately. Because the glory always points back to the Father, not to myself. See? That's what grace is. You didn't work for it. You didn't inherit it from your parents. It was given to you from Christ. It says nothing about who you are or what you have done, but everything about what Christ is and what he has done. So all the glory and praise is his. The giver gets the glory. Last week I said one, right? I said look to the one, left and right. Do this one today. Look to the right. Says, the giver gets the glory. Look to the left. Say, the giver gets the glory. Amen, amen. The giver gets the glory, absolutely. And these gifts that Christ gives us is such that it helps us at our task. And what is our task? Starts with you and ends with ninity. Thank you. And our task is all about unity. And this is what Paul reminds us at this point. Exactly why these gifts are here. And it answers our second question. How have these gifts come to us and come to the church? And verse 8 through 9, Paul says, therefore, because he gave us gifts, and this is why he's actually repeating a Psalms here. And he says, when he ascended on high, he led the host of captives and gave gifts to men. The he in this verse is Christ. He is the one who has ascended in order that we might receive these gifts. So Christ ascending or going up to heaven is the reason why we have these things, right? Because he died for our sins. And he went back up to heaven. See? And that can be a little bit confusing here. But that's why Paul makes it a little bit more clear. Paul says, take a deeper look here, guys. Take a deeper look into what I'm saying here. Christ went back up to heaven. in saying that he went up to heaven, he's kind of implying that Christ came also down from heaven in the lower regions of the earth. And Paul says this, and the ascension implies that he came down. And why is this connection? Because he's giving the gospel story. Paul is reminding everyone in Ephesians right here of the gospel story. You got to understand, he's saying Christ was in heaven. Yes, he was with one with the Father. But then Christ came down. And that's the gospel news. Because Christ saw who we were. Christ saw that we were slaves, that we were captives. We were captives to death and sin. So he descended from the throne of heaven. He humbled himself as a man. The living God reduced himself to a man. And he lived that perfect life. That's why we have this Savior. That's why we have this one thing that's so perfect in Jesus Christ. Because he did what no other human could do. To live a sin-free life. He died the death we deserve because of our sin. And then he rose again, victorious and triumphant over death and sin, so we too may be victorious over death and sin. No more enslavement, no more slavery. We are the conquerors, we are the victors, we are the winner. And that's the victory we have, because Christ's victory over sin. That's the triumph we have. That's what these gifts are to the church. So how has Christ given us these gifts? By his victory over death. And this is the key to unity, my brothers and sisters. The same good news of the gospel that saves us from our sins, that saves us from our deaths, that saves us from our own toils, is the same victory that we have to restore and empower the gifts into the church so that we too may have unity in the body for one purpose only, to bring back the glory to God. Let me ask you guys this. When was the last time you did something for God and not for yourself? When was the last time? Because that's why he gives us these things. He has given us these abilities. He has done all these things so that we too may be restored. And that leads us to the third question, which is, what is the purpose of this gift? See, we have seen what has been given, and that is grace. And we see how grace has been given, and that's through the victory of sin and death, right? So what is the purpose of this grace? Verse 12, Jesus has gifted us with these ministers, the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And here's the payoff: to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. How many of you here? Not all of us. But I know some of us were born into this church. I know some of us, thank you, brother. I know some of us are here from the very little time when we were in that room all the way on the other side, grew up and went through 4, 5, 6, 7 years on this side, and now we're on this side. Do you think this is by accident? The church is very intentional. This is the purpose of the church, to build each other up. This is the purpose of why we come here. And I know we love to think, I come here to hang out with my buddies. Yeah, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't say no. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. But there's deeper purpose than just hanging out. Yeah, we can hang out, but we're hanging out for a purpose. Because we are to build this body up. And I really pray for our older brothers and sisters to pour love onto our younger ones. You know, I'm so sorry, guys. There has been some broken relationships. And I'm doing my best to repair them. And I think it's very unfair for you guys. Okay? And the reason why I say this is because you're breaking off one of your legs. Or one of your legs are broken. Right? I told you this is how we grow and mature, right? We need someone behind us, someone we're going to mentor and bring up. We need someone beside us who's going to keep us accountable to the things we do. And then we need someone above us who's going to say, this is the way to go. This is the things I suffered through. This is some wisdom I can impart on you. And we're missing that piece. And I'm sorry. But we're doing the best that we can with what we got, and we're going to do better things. Okay? But that's why you got to understand, this is what the body of the church does. Okay? We come here for fun. We come here to talk to each other. We come here to love and laugh and eat candy, because I love giving out candy too, right? But the real reason is we come here for purpose. That the saints and the ministry of work will build up the body of Christ. The Bible is saying those who minister to the church, right? They equip the saints, and that includes all believers. Think back. The Bible says in verse 1, from each one of us for the work. And what is the work? The work is to build up the body of Christ. And Paul, again, points us back to unity. The unity that we were called to. He says that this unity, right, this equipment for building up of our own body was given us not only the purpose of just doing it for ourselves, but for our body, one body, from verse 4. Christ has died and risen to give us everything that we need to do the work and the ministry of God, to do it within the body. And yes, Paul mentioned specific things like teachers, pastors, and all these other things. But you can think of these guys as a foreman. How many of you guys know what a foreman is? Kind of. How many of you guys ever been to a construction site? Okay, he's the guy who wears the white hat. You guys know what the white hat means? Huh? He's the boss. So all the other people wear yellow hats, right? Yellow, if you're a worker, construction worker, you just wear. But if you're the foreman, you wear this special white hat. You know, that's all us are. You know, your co-workers, this is just the organization of the church. You know, the co-workers are these foremen that just kind of guide us and lead us into these different things. Pastor's a little bit higher version of that, right? But that's all it is. It's this idea that we all work together. And some people are leaders, yes, but others, we all follow in that same direction. So to sum it up, he's saying grace was given, gifts were given, ministers were given, so that each one of us might perform the work of the ministry to build the body up of Christ. Which leads us to our fourth question. What does it look like when these gifts are put together? Here's the payoff, guys. Again, I love how Paul does this. You know, if you read it in these sections, you can see Paul painting a picture. I love how he does this. He always paints these word pictures, and this is what it is, and this is what it is, and this, and then he draws a big picture, and this is what it, you put all these parts together, it looks like this. And this is the summation of it, okay? So this is the big picture, he's saying. Verse 13 to 15, we are equipped to do the work of the ministry that builds up the body of Christ. Until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that so that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind and doctrine and human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking of truth and love in every way into him, the head, into Christ. See? How many of you guys feel confused in life? I do. Society says one thing, your friends say another. Church preaches all these things that are so high and mighty, so far out here. You're like, how do I live my life? How does all this make sense? Right? All these different directions that pulls myself, right? And you get even crazy things within the church, right? Like, for example, I told you about my, I won't say the denomination, but you know, before they asked me to be their youth pastor, and in the interview process, they said, you have to believe homosexuality is not a sin. And I challenged them. I said, I grabbed my Bible. Where in the Bible does that say that? Where in the Bible does it say homosexuality is not a sin? So you got even churches saying some crazy, weird things that maybe not really indoctrinated in the Bible, but maybe going by feelings and all these other things, right? And that's the danger of all of this, right? Because we can get so passionate and so loving and wanting so much for the best of other people, we lose sight of what's most important is that relationship, this fellowship we have, this body building that we have. We get so dogmatic, and I'm number one guilty of this. You got to do it like this. And you look at Keone. Keone looks at me, Dad, I'm only 4 years old. Why are you yelling at me? Well, he's 7 now. I remember because he gave me that look at 4 years old. Why did you do that? And we get so passionate because of that, because we want to see the outcome so bad. But see, once again, we lack humility in this aspect. Because it becomes my drive. It becomes about what I want. It becomes what I want for you. And sometimes we miss God. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge every minister faces. But this is why it's good. As Paul says here. Because not only do these things, as we work with it, right, these gifts and all these other things that come into us and all these other direction life pulls us, even within the church and all these things, how do we make sense of it? With the gifts that God has given us. Because the truth is, as we work together, the result is that we grow to become more like Christ. First individually and then corporately. Paul says we start to become, to look more like Christ in our stature. We will not become like children anymore. That's easily deceived, right? I used to love Keone when he was a young baby. I could tell him, and yeah, daddy. Like this thing, you see this thing with the thumb? Daddy can do magic. Daddy, what happened to your thumb? So easy, right? Kids are, I don't know if it's I'm the bad guy or if he's just too gullible, right? But kids, they believe what adults say. But that's the danger here, because we are living in a critical time, my brothers and sisters. Do you guys understand this? You guys are being pulled in so many directions that you guys don't even understand your own faith. That I hear people coming up to me and say, Pastor Howard, I don't feel Jesus in my life anymore. Or Pastor Howard, you know what? I want to become closer to God because I somehow feel like he's so far away. Why is this? Well, because we let other things come into our lives, right? We make one exception, right? We used to be like this, but now I'm like this. And because I'm like this, more stuff can come in that shouldn't be there. And we open ourselves more and more and more. And that's why we need the body. That's why we need to stay together, my brothers and sisters. That's what it's all about. Because we can get easily deceived by the world and the devil. Because once we grow and once we mature, no more of these to and fro like the waves, right? No more going up and down, up and down, up and down, being tossed back and forth. Sometimes I like this, sometimes I like that. Sometimes I can take a stand, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like I'm proud to be a Christian, and other times I feel embarrassed that I am a Christian. Why? Why do we do these things to ourselves time and time again? Because we let other things come in. And instead of being in commune with God and the things that are godly and the things he calls us to, we start opening ourselves to other things. And then we start to lose sight. And that's why it says, until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. In the same way that we are weak and needy and physically as children, we too are spiritually weak and needy. When we first come to Christ. And that's why Paul warns us here. He says, children, don't stay too long in this place. It's dangerous for you guys. You know why it's dangerous for you guys? If you don't make a stand soon, you know what happens, he says? He says, the devil is cunning. The devil is deceitful. He will use every method, every trickery, everything to come into your mind, into your heart, and infiltrate your body. So that once was God's is no longer his. That's what he does. Make no mistake about the devil. He says, I will keep you from growing in Christ. I will render you completely ineffective for his kingdom. So there will be no more growth and no more growing. This is the warning that Paul is giving to his children. He's saying this maturity in Christ is not only something that you need to have. It is essential. You will die without it. He says, maybe even false teachings. Maybe even worse. And this is something I personally need to be reminded of. I think we all need to be reminded of. The devil is ready and waiting. Not to scare you, but the devil is ready and waiting. The question is, are you mature enough to be able to discern what is Christ and what is a lie? Are you able to really understand what is Christ and what is a lie? Because everything sounds good, does it not? In the case for homosexuality, you know how I stand on it, and I love them, right? But I'm going to be compassionate in truth. There's no way I'm going to deny my faith, right? But in this idea of homosexuality, for example, the LGBT community says it this way. Look, it's the same thing as slavery. Why are you oppressing me? Why are you making me so that I can't get married? Is that not a great argument? Slavery is a bad thing, right? Or is it a good thing? No, it's a bad thing. Oh, amen. Ah! There you go. Throw it up. Slave to God, she says. Amen. Oh, I like that. Yeah, slave to God. Right? But that's the need. We only can grow up this way. Like this body that we have, this love that we have for one another is what keeps us. It's what sustains us. Everything outside of these walls and these doors break us down. This is the one place that we're built back up. And that's exactly the point he's saying. We ought to grow throughout our lives. There should be never a point in our lives where we feel like we're not growing in Christ. In fact, I told you guys this many times. Every time you leave worship, you guys should be feeling, man, I love Jesus more. And if I fail, I'm sorry. I make you guys go sleep. But the point is, this is what it's all about. We should have, all our lives should have this upward trajectory. We become more and more like Christ. When we know Christ personally and when we trust him personally, we ourselves become like Christ and we help others become like Christ. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is properly working, makes the body grow and builds itself up. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. If we go back through these passages, we can see that each and every one of us has been in a gift. The ministers of God has gifted the church to equip the church to build up the body. And here in this last verse, we see this condition. Because, yeah, this is what the church is supposed to do. When we build up, we're supposed to build up. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to care for each other. We're supposed to honor each other. But here's the payoff here. And this is how we do it. When each part is working properly. My brothers and sisters, I want you guys to look deep within yourself. To let you guys know that you matter. Never should you ever feel that this church doesn't belong to you. Never should you ever feel that you can't be a part of what's going on in this church. Because that's not what Paul teaches. This is not what Christ teaches. He says he gives us these things. He says we do all these things if we work together properly. Each and every one of you matter in this church. Okay? I told you a long time ago, my son had born with six toes. Okay, I love that six toe. I used to play with it all the time. He used to get mad. I used to play with it and play with it and play with it. I used to get, because it was just an extra thing right there. I used to go like this, right? Now, that toe shouldn't have been there. So we cut it off. But a part of me was sad because I was like, oh, even though it wasn't supposed to be there, that's still my son, and I cut a part of my son off, right? Like, because, you know, as a body should be held whole. Why are you cutting something out? I mean, unless it's cancer, then, you know, you don't want that, right? Right? You don't want that. But my son, we cut off his toe, and it's like, oh. But that's what the body is. We're all together. You know, six toes. They said, the reason why I cut off is like, do we really have to? He's like, yeah, because when he gets older, it's going to grow bigger and it's going to snag stuff. It's going to cause infection. It just gets festers. just be nasty, so cut it off. Otherwise, I would have kept it. I really would have. But that's how I was like, oh. But that's the body of Christ. We yearn for each other. This is what we do. We build each other up. Right? We don't cut each other down. We don't take each other out. We don't say, this is no good. You're not part of us. Even when we have issues with one another, we build each other up. Each and every part of the body has a part to play in the growth of the body. I'll say that again. Each and every part of the body has a part to play with the growth in the body. See, the power does not come from us. It comes from Christ. From whom and through whom that the body builds itself up. And it is because of Christ's death and resurrection, the good news, the gospel, that the body can be built up in love rather than selfish ambition. So you may be thinking here, and I'm going to close here. You may be thinking, what is all this stuff that Pastor Howard just told us about? Oh, why is all this unity about the church so important? Because it deals with us. Because this is what the church is. And this is what the cross is. There's always this personal relationship that we have with Christ. And that's the vertical line. But the horizontal line is the body. Whoever you can contact this way, whoever you can, let's all go up to Christ. Right? And in here and in this thinking, you have to ask yourselves these three questions. The first question, and this is the payoff here. Why did I preach this the past 40 minutes? Well, the first question you need to ask yourself is, am I really growing spiritually? It's a hard question to ask because we all want to say yes. We all want to say, of course I love my Jesus. Who wouldn't say yes? What do you mean? Of course I love my Jesus. Of course I'm getting closer. Of course. Are we? I'm not talking about just reading Bible for Bible knowledge. But what I'm really asking you guys is, you know, we just went through almost a year together now, as I've been your pastor now. Almost a year. Okay? So I ask you guys this question. Do you guys look more like Christ today than you did when I first came? Do the things that I say and the things that I do point back to Christ? Or does it point back to me? And what I did, and what I want, and what my feelings are. 2, do I promote unity? Or do I promote discord among the body? Am I quick to tear others down? Am I prone to gossip? Do I always have to prove myself? Is it always important to get it my way? Question 3. Am I afraid of trying to help others spiritually? Do you feel or do I feel like I know enough? Do you think you're good enough? Do you think you know enough to share? Because the truth is, my brothers and sisters, we all fall short. We can't do it on our own. As skilled as Pastor Balax is, as skilled as all the elders are and all the co-workers are, we could be a great corporation without the Spirit of God. We are nothing other than that. Right? We have some titans of industry in our church. Right? You guys don't know about Elder Miles. I'm telling you. He knows he handles business. He handles business. Trust me. Right? And as skilled as all of these guys are and as good as everything that we do here. Okay? We would just be another corporate company trying to facilitate whatever goals, but never have the heart of Jesus. But that's not the case here. You guys got to know the groundwork has been laid more than 10 years ago, more than 60 years ago with CCIC. That is our heritage and our lineage that leads today. So we all fall short. We all fall short. But the truth is, that's why we have Jesus. Because Jesus says, whatever hurtful thing that was, whatever prideful thing that was, I'll take it away. And he says, there's grace and mercy at your feet. And there's power in my name, he says. He says, all your sin, all your shame has been defeated. And now you have everything you need to pursue this calling that I give you, he says. It's been placed on your life. Do you guys know that today is Palm Sunday? This is the day, this is the beginning of the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Humanly ministry on earth. I'll say it that way. Okay? This is the beginning of it. This is where he comes in the triumphant entry. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And they're recognizing God and say, you are the God who saves. And that takes faith. It took faith then. It takes faith now to follow Christ because of all that he's done for us. So I ask you to ask Christ. Say, Jesus, I need more faith. I need more faith to trust in all that you do and all that you say. All that you do and all that you say of me. Let's ask Christ more today than we did yesterday, because Christ is able to give. And on this Palm Sunday, remember, he gave the gift of death and life and resurrection. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for the heart of Paul as he paints this picture of what unity is supposed to be and the purpose of these things and why. God, help us as a church to build each other up, that we would be raised by the church, Lord. That you would help us to know, Father, that your spirit is alive and well in here by the way we treat one another. God, help us to be this blessing that you call us to be. But before that, Lord, if there is any question amongst us, if there's any insecurity here, Father, if there's any doubt in our hearts or in our minds, Lord, I pray that you flush them out. God, that we can come to you, Father, for we know that your spirit is truth and there is nothing hiding in you. So, Lord, if we can just be frank with you and say, God, that we have issues or we have this or we have that, Father, we know that you are faithful enough to take them, Lord. So I pray that each student here comes before you, that they would bend their knee on this Palm Sunday and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. You are the God who saves. Father, if we have not made that proclamation ourselves, Lord, I pray that we would be able to do so. God, that you have instilled your passion of love and life and into you, and your vitality into this church. Give us wisdom to serve you and to serve the people here, Lord. Help us to know your mercy in a more intimate way, that we would be able to truly be united in spirit and in truth. Father, that we would know you, that we would love you, and that we would love others. Bless us, Father, today. We thank you for your mercies. We love you, God. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.